So we're going to continue in Pelley Yoritz. We're on page 636. We're on the topic of Hanoah. We're going to have to reach a stopping point today. I don't know my schedule the rest of the week. I'm having a procedure tomorrow, so I don't know in terms of definitely. I can tell you like this: we're definitely not learning tomorrow. I don't know about the rest of the week. You'll have to stay tuned. So on page 636, it says like this: Amar Rav Chazal, Gadol Anenem Igiyo Yosem Yireishimayim. Great is someone who fears heaven and gets Hana from his own work, from his own efforts, rather than someone who fears Hashem but gets benefit from others. Because the idea is we're talking now about benefiting, and the problem is going to be that you're going to inevitably show chanifa, show flattery to the person that you're relying upon. That the someone who benefits on his own doesn't need to show flattery to anyone. You're getting the parnasa directly from Hashem, so you don't feel the need to flatter some intermediary in order to ensure that it continues, as opposed to someone who is relying on other people. That I, as I said, it will inevitably lead to some form of chanifa. And the pasuk says that the crown of a wise person is his wealth, but the folly of a fool is his foolishness. Meaning that the way that they're explaining that pasuk, that the wise person is relying on himself for his wealth, whereas the foolish person is relying on others, and therefore he's going to come to foolish behavior. And because of this, it says regarding someone who benefits from him from his own efforts, the toivlach, that it will be good for you, lo'olam haba, meaning in the next world. Masha'en kein b'yirei shamayim. This is different from someone who, although he has yirei shamayim, but he does rely on others. Dinehi shemitzad echad ashra b'yirei shamayim. Although it's good for him in this world, based on the fact that he has yirei shamayim, avshemitzad b'leshulchan chaver mikomakom chayinach ziyashaket v'shana. Despite the fact that you're relying on others, you're going to have a pleasant life. You're yirei shamayim. But it's not going to be as good for you in Olam Haba, simply because you're going to be, as we said, you're going to likely be guilty of some form of chanifa. The Issa B'Shas, and it's brought down in the Gemara, the Amalei Rav Kahana, the Amalei Rav L'Rav Kahana, Rav told Rav Kahana, Pshoit Nevelta B'Shuka, skin a dead body in the marketplace, meaning a dead animal, betol Agra, and accept a wage for that. V'leitema Kano Ano, and don't say I'm a Koyein. Gavar Rabba, no, I'm a great person. Meaning that don't ever say that certain types of work is beneath you. Eloi kemoi sha'oisim rabbi me'aniyim. He says, don't act like many poor people. He says, specifically if they were once wealthy and they lost their wealth. Zila behu milsa lasas malacha bezuya, that they think it's disgraceful to perform some sort of menial labor, hard labor. In his days it was wood choppers, v'shayavimayim, water carriers. In our days, we would call these people, we would call this type of job minimum wage. And you have someone who was a very successful person, and he doesn't want to work behind the counter, and he doesn't want to be a busboy, and he doesn't want to be a delivery man. He thinks that beneath him. So Rav Kahana, Rav told Rav Kahana, don't ever shy away from doing those jobs. And because they're concerned with their own honor, they sit idly on the corners, I know Vinodar, they wander around the shvakim in the marketplaces of Berchavis in the streets. They're always looking for a proper job, but they're not willing to just take anything. Ubnei Beisam, Mutalim Berav, and Nebuch, the people that live with them in their house, those people are starving. Oilalim, the young children, Shalul Lechem, ask for bread parish, ain lohem, and no one gives it to them. Shigam Stoka Boishamilishal. They're also embarrassed to ask for and accept charity, umalakabal and accept it. And even if they do accept it, a little bit of food is not going to help the intense hunger that they're dealing with. So their honor is blocking their ability to maybe get the parnasa that HaKadosh Baruch was sending them. But if they were a wise person, they would understand kibushahu, ganef hanimtza b'machteres, that what's disgrace? What's disgraceful? Disgraceful is not taking parnasa. Disgraceful is when you're caught being a ganif. That's a reason why a person has to be ashamed. But if you do an honest day's work, whatever the opportunity is, there's no busha in that. And it's going to be a great mitzvah. So if Nebuch, a person has to take a lower paying job or even a lower stature job, in order to earn parnasa, you should look at it as a busha. He should say, you know what? Rather the fact that I'm providing for myself and I don't have to steal, if I would steal, or my children would have to steal, that's embarrassing. But for me to earn an honest living, that's nothing to be embarrassed about. Shari Amru al Pasuk, they said about the Pasuk, Oisei Tzedakah B'chol, that Hashem does tzidkus at all times. This is actually referring to someone who sustains his children and they rely on him. And if you can't help yourself, your status, your ego is going to prevent you from not being embarrassed. It's going to cause you embarrassment. So then go somewhere where people don't recognize you and it's easier for you to earn that money. And there you should work, and there you should toil, and do whatever labor you have to do to provide for your family, and you'll be satiated with bread, and any shame that you feel will be a kapara, that learning Torah is better with derech eretz, with having a job, because in that way, you don't have to come onto Aveira. You have Torah. But you also have a way of earning a living, and therefore you won't be tempted by someone who's learning all day but doesn't have any money, and then is tempted because he wants the same types of material aspects as his friends have. Let's do a little bit more. Amru Chazal writes, Elisha, someone who wants to have benefit should benefit like Elisha, who accepted a place to live from the Isha Shunamis. They specifically stated Elisha. It says over there that she was a prominent woman. She was very prominent due to her wealth. And she insisted that she was giving with a generous eye. We all know the story of Reb Pinchas ben Yair. He never wanted to accept any benefit. But Amrei, he would say, there are those who want to share what they have, but they don't have the resources. And there are those who don't have, and they don't want to share either. And if you take from them, you're being over an avera, meaning there are those who don't have, but they feel pressured to do it. And then there are those who don't want to, and they also feel pressured to do it. And those people, they're going to feel the pressure, and they're going to give, and really, it's improper to take. If somebody wants to, and he doesn't have, it's considered like you're entering a meal there where there's not enough. It's considered like you're getting a hana from a meal where there's not even enough for the landlord. And if a person has but he doesn't want, and he gives because he's embarrassed. This also has a mamashas of geneva in it. Someone who fears Hashem is going to make sure to be careful and vigilant against any of these circumstances. Chazal say that you could see a person's true character when it comes to money. It's the greatest test of a person, because if the Yetzer Hara cannot get you when it comes to monetary matters and when it comes to hanas atzmai, your own pleasure, and you, despite your intense Yetzer Hara, you remain someone who hates affluence, where there's even a small possibility of an iser, you run in the other direction. It's a sign that you're a strong person. So if there's even a little bit that smells not appropriate in a monetary opportunity, and you seeing that run in the other direction, that's a sign that you're a kaveshes yitzra. And someone who fears sin, as he should understand the need to concern himself, even for a slight chance of an iser, meaning someone who fears such an avera and he's so concerned, even of the slightest avera. He says, and this is no different. He says, you have to conduct yourself when someone is offering you, but you suspect that they don't have, you're not allowed to accept any sort of gift unless you know for sure that they can. B'shema ein, and he adds here the words comfortably participate. And he has to be concerned that the person doesn't want to share it deep inside. He's going to be makbid even on a shava pruta. Don't judge by what you see, that if your friend looks like he's doing well and he's smiling and he seems happy, there are those who sheer generously with a full heart, and then there are those who look with an evil eye and they tell you to eat and drink, but really inside they don't want to. Rabba, and he says it's very bad to eat the bread of someone with such an evil eye. Actually, Amru b'zera kadosh shemutav adam shiachanoi, better that a person chokes himself al yoichal aslechem ra'ayin, and don't eat from someone that really doesn't want to give. V'lachein lo yeyone me'acher ad she'eh adavar baro like hashemesh. Don't accept the benefit from someone until you know clear as day. Believe shum something without any doubt. You believe sholim who knows, and he's giving with a full heart. So this has to do with any time you're participating in any sort of contribution, whether it's for a kiddush or whether it's for a building or whether someone invites you to their home and you feel that maybe they're not being sincere about it, and there's reason to suspect that maybe they don't really have or they don't really want, but they feel maybe a social pressure or maybe a physical pressure, but there's some reason, there's some motivation that's pushing them to do it, and you suspect that maybe they really don't want, that really their heart's not in it. He says from the Zohar that it's better to put yourself in a situation where you'd be choked rather than accept such a type of favor, because that has a mamashas of Geneva. But he brings out a very important idea here, which is how do we act when we are faced with monetary taivas, when we are faced with a monetary nisayon? There's room to say it both ways. There's room to say it's mutter, and there's room to say that it's asr. How does a person react? So, if you see the person running the other way, that's a clear sign that that's a person that's kavish his yetzer. But if you see someone that, when it's a suffix, okay, he's going to be makel, and he's going to say, yeah, it's really allowed. Don't worry, it's okay. And he does that all the time. So that's a sign that he might be someone that's susceptible to the nisayon, and more so than others. Okay.